Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza, and for today, we are getting into a discussion, around the world of financial technology, otherwise known as fintech. And we are joined by someone who's no stranger to the platform. That is Simpiwe Phakathi, who is the executive head of sales and distribution over at EasyPay Everywhere. They are a unit of listed fintech companies, Lesaka Technologies, and we're going to be getting into a discussion just around some of the big themes there. And one of the key ones that I wanted to explore for today is around EasyPay's loan offerings. One of the themes that we have seen from a number of fintech players over the last couple of years is we have a number of fintech guys that are now offering loans. These can be micro loans as small as 5-10 rand, but they can actually stretch to a small business loan as much as 500,000 rand. So now we're just gonna get a sense of where is EasyPay playing in that particular ecosystem. Simpiwe, greetings to you today.
Greetings. Good day, good morning, good evening, good day. It's great to be back here on the platform and chatting to you and our listeners, dear.
So, when it comes to, EasyPay, you guys are, maybe you could give, for the uninitiated, some the elevator pitch on EasyPay. To our understanding, this is more or less the biggest piece of the consumer side of Lesaka's business.
No, that's correct. So yeah, EasyPay Everywhere really focuses on the consumer side of the business. We offer banking solutions in the form of a bank account for our grant recipient clients, client base. We also then offer micro lending, as you've indicated, as well as insurance products such as predominantly funeral cover for these clients, so that they've got a full suite of products that are tailored to their needs.
Mm. So I think just one or two of the numbers that I do know off my head, and then obviously Simpiwe is the expert here, and he will help us with everything else. Lesaka has a consumer base of about 1.5 million, if I remember correctly. They've recently entered into an agreement to buy out another fintech company called Adumo, which will add another 245,000 or so consumers onto its book, bringing the total to about 1.7 million. In that universe of consumer customers, what does the lending piece look like, for EasyPay?
Right. So the lending piece really, from a SaaS perspective, we have about 400,000 clients who have also then taken up lending as our product set. And our lending is really quite simplistic. We offer term lending, in essence, which gives clients the flexibility to borrow in line with, firstly, their affordability and a fixed term through which to repay. So a loan term really ranges from 1 to 6 months based on the client's preference, as well as their approval based on the affordability assessment we've done. So our loan sizes begin from as little as 100 rand to a maximum value of 2,000 rand. And from a term perspective, 1 up to 6 months. In terms of value that we've disbursed, I think we're proud to say in the past year, we've disbursed about 1.6 billion in loans to our client base, so that we can help them support their needs in the communities within which they live.
One of the big things when it comes to, this greater discussion around financial inclusion, Simpiwe, is the fact that the consumer bases or the segments of the market that yourselves and others are going after tend to be a pool of people that have largely gone, unrecognized by what are considered formal financial institutions, the banks, all of that. And part of the rationale is that, these are potentially risky clients, risky customers, and all that. How is, that segment that you're talking about, as little as 100 Rand up to 2000 Rand, you guys have issued, the 1.6 billion in loans. People would be keen to understand what are the rates of, paying, not paying, delinquency and all of that.
Yeah, no, great. Yeah, you're right. I mean, these clients generally don't have many credible options when it comes to registered financial services players that can lend to them. And I think this is why we actually wanted to play in the space, so that we could offer a credible alternative. And because there aren't many options, we've actually seen the opposite in terms of risk. We're finding very, very loyal customers in terms of their ability to pay. We've just released our quarter earnings, because we release them quarterly. And you would recall, if you look at our default rate, it's well below 5%, which is somewhat unheard of in this particular sector of the market, which tells you that, one, we're lending to the right clients, we're scoring them appropriately, and the clients appreciate the service, which is why we've seen such incredible repayment rates and low default rates that we're seeing. Secondly, because they are term-based, meaning a client has to finish paying their loan before they can apply for the next one, it allows us to always rescore you based on your current circumstances when you reapply. And we're seeing a high, repeat ratio, clients coming back after their term, which is incredible. Sitting at about 70% of our clients who come back to us, which tells us the product works and they're able to afford it, and you see low default rates.
Out of interest, right, with everything that you're saying, because you're making quite a good case, for this particular base. Those are very low delinquency rates that you're talking about, people being able to pay back, the loans and all that. When you have a company like EasyPay offering loans as little as as 100 Rand, what is that telling us about the health of consumer pockets in South Africa? Like, how hard is life if a person has to borrow 100 Rand?
Yeah, so I think it's speaking volumes to how hard life is in South Africa in general. Our client base are predominantly, I guess, the grant income earners, look at clients that earn as little as 530 if you are a child support grant client, up to a maximum of about 2,200 Rand if you are an old age grant earner. So just listening to those value kind of tells you that it's not enough to substantiate or to sustain one for an entire month when it comes to day-to-day living expenses, which is why then you see clients needing additional assistance to cover additional needs throughout to sustain their needs throughout the rest of the month, or at certain times when it comes to back to school, to be able to take care of the family needs, in essence. So life is not easy. I think it's quite clear, and I'd say the government is doing their piece to try and close the gap, but the grant size itself is not enough. If I were to ask you, How much you pay for a month on petrol. At times it's more than even that grant for the common man on the street who's working. So it's really tough. It's really tough.
Yeah, no, I think at this point, tough is probably, a huge understatement. And we often hear, that consumer pockets in South Africa are under pressure. And one of the things that I think is quite, eye-opening, and at least great about conversations like this is that it helps to put, certain things into context. Like what you're just describing now, just around the reality, this base of clients, because the 1.5 million that you guys have under your umbrella, that's just a segment of the market. There's still others, that you guys could be capturing, in that net, which means that, the problem is still, much bigger, than we anticipate. So from that point of view, I'm then keen to understand how do you guys then go about, deciding on what products to perhaps get into, because there's a lot of needs that consumers have. There are a lot of needs, there are a lot of competing needs, right? And obviously, as EasyPay, you can't be everything to everyone. So how do you decide, okay, fine, insurance is something that we can get into, lending is something that we can get into. Inside lending, we think that okay, 100 to 2,000 rand is probably a good range for us to be playing in that market. Yeah, maybe you could walk us through what a product development life cycle looks like for you guys, because there's a lot to think about there.
No, definitely. There's a lot to think about. So, I really think it's from our perspective, it starts with the customer and customer insights. We're fortunate enough to have, I'd say, very good distribution network. We've got branches where most banks are not there, which is within the communities. We've got about 250 branches, physical points of presence that clients can walk into and engage with any of our staff members to inquire about a service or to understand our product offering better. And we get a lot of insights, which then are shared with our teams around the gap in the market or the opportunities that our staff see. And then we've got a mechanism to then obviously make sure these bubble up to our product teams, which we then do some extensive market research in the field with some of our research partners. To really validate the need, that's the first thing, and obviously quantify the size of the opportunity from a client perspective in terms of if we were to able to develop this product or change the construct of our existing product, how relevant would it be to our clients? Most recently, we've launched a product called Extended Funeral Cover. Because our funeral cover offering was initially just focusing on the immediate family needs. You cover yourself, your spouse, and your kids. But we found that in many of the communities we operate in, this family dynamic includes the nephews, the nieces, the aunts, and the uncles, which is a big and very important part of the of our customers' ecosystem, and we were just leaving them out without actually finding having a solution. We're pleased that through that level of understanding, went through the product development life cycle. We launched it about 2 months ago, and the feedback and the take up has just been phenomenal because the client says, "Wow, you listened. You then actually went and delivered a solution." Now we're able to then obviously take it up. So it's a combination of the right presence and listening to our staff, our people as well, and then validating what we see and then going to market as quickly as possible in fintech format. Let's not wait for the next financial year. Let's do it as quickly as we can to make sure we meet the needs sooner rather than later.
All right. I like that because I think it gives us some good insight into, you know, what the product development lifecycle looks like and some of the things that you guys are probably, I guess, grappling with as you guys go to market with some of these offerings. And also at the same time, you know, maybe some of the considerations that are, you know, that you guys are making, because once again, you can't be everything to everyone, but you also have to serve the market as best as possible. Another curiosity that I've been, you know, wondering about is when it comes to the consumer business at Lesaka, and more specifically, you know, things like EasyPay, there's an element that we sort of say is competing with the banks, right? And to a certain extent, you guys have holes. Can I call them banking holes?
Okay. Yeah, you can call them banking holes, yes.
Yes. You guys are essentially a fintech company, a financial technology company, right?
Yes.
How is technology use for that base, if I may ask?
You know, we came into this journey with a view that, you know, our business is largely face-to-face, but then you looked at the construct of our grant base. You find that 68% of the grant base, 60 to 70% of the grant base is actually the child support grant, which is actually younger people or single mothers who actually all have a phone or a smartphone, and in some way or form are digital in their day-to-day on a day-to-day basis. So we thought then we've got to be able to have what we call a digital presence, which is a physical presence, which talks to the banking holes you just made reference to, as well as a strong digital proposition that allows for convenience for clients who then want to use digital channels to engage with us, either from a servicing perspective, I want to check my balance, or I want to take up a loan and I don't want to get into a taxi. Let me just log into USSD and do it from the comfort of my home. And we actually saw growth in the digital channel grow literally month on month. I'd say on a year-on-year basis, we've seen more than 100% adoption of our digital channels, in particular our USSD channel for both servicing and sales perspective, where clients can apply from the comfort of their home for these loans that we were speaking about, which cuts out the need to travel, which reduces the cost that our clients then can save and use that money for their other needs. So yeah, it's a digital world for us, and we're seeing that digital is growing faster. And we're on that bus.
I keep hearing this term phygital. I think at some point we're just going to have to accept that this is now a thing.
Absolutely.
I first heard about it in the, at least as a term, I first heard about it in the world, in the context of online education. You know, people saying that obviously we need the physical classrooms, but everyone now needs to have an online component. And they said, oh, this is now phygital. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is interesting. So, you know, it's great to see that the term is pushing ahead, you know, in various constructs. Before we let you go, Simpiwe, maybe as a way to wrap everything together, maybe put a nice bow, you know, around this particular conversation. What's your outlook when it comes to, I guess, lending in this particular space, and I guess the needs, you know, for this particular base? Do you from a strategy point of view, do you look outside of the current pool to try and get more people in so that these are some of the products that you can grow, such as lending? Or do you sort of push ahead and try and increase your penetration, with the existing base? Because at 400,000 out of a 1.5 million today, you are just, I'm just going to call it 23, almost 24%, of the base. Do you, try and, win over new customers or push ahead and try and get more of the base onto lending?
Yeah, so I think you're spot on. So I think there's a huge opportunity in the immediate term to, from a strategy perspective, to increase our penetration within our existing client base, so that we can make sure that we actually grow responsibly with clients that are part of our base, so that we can grow our penetration. So that's definitely in the short term. Secondly, we are refining our product set, like I said to you. For example, I said a client could theoretically take a 100 rand loan, but we see that the need, on average, our loan size is about 1,500 rand, which tells us that the need is for higher term or higher value loans. So we're saying, how do we then make sure that while it's possible for one to take out a 100 rand loan, we're seeing lower take up of those loans, how do we come up with the right loan sizes or right product types for a bigger portion of our client and a broader client base, so that our product set is more relevant and we grow more clients in that space. So the story is around growth initially with our current base, and how do we come up or innovate with new products within our product sphere, in essence.
All right. So on that note, that's where we end off today's discussion. It has been a really great one, just understanding what lending is looking like, in that particular market. EasyPay's consumer base is currently mainly made up of grant recipients, and we're talking about what some of the realities are from an income and liquidity point of view are, because if a company like EasyPay is lending from as little as 100 grand, then that's an indication of just how tough things are for many consumers in South Africa. But some of the key insights coming out from Simpiwe is the fact that the average loan size sort of sits at the 1.5 or 1,500 rand mark, sort of pointing to the fact that it's somewhat the bigger loans, that EasyPay sort of has to grapple with and, think about when they are going out into the market, with various products. It was also great to get a sense of what that product development life cycle looks like. What are some of the things that are being thought about? What are the realities on the ground? Where does EasyPay, see themselves in the market, and how do they decide what they're going to actually go out, into the market? As we said, in a world where you have limited time and resources, you can't be everything to everyone. So what can you actually go out, into the base and do? 400,000 customers, that's roughly, what the lending base looks like for EasyPay. Simpiwe were just saying that at the moment, one of the big pushes is to increase penetration, and try and, help when it comes to liquidity needs, on that front. 1.6 billion, I think that was the number that was given in terms of, the size of the loan book, at the moment. And also, good to then hear that the payback rates, or at least what people in banking call delinquency, is actually not as high as people would think, which makes the case stronger, for the the likes of EasyPay. So that's been it, you know, for today. It has been a great one. We were in discussion with Simpiwe Phakathi, who is the executive head of sales and distribution over at EasyPay Everywhere. Simpiwe, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Great chatting to you, Mudiwa.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.